It's December the 7th. Let's read the Bible. Welcome back, friends, to this year-long journey from Genesis to Revelation in just 1 year. I've just been thinking to myself, I wonder how many times I've said that phrase from Genesis to Revelation in just 1 year. I mean, almost every day I say that, and it's a thrill. Here we are, first week of December. We are not far away from the end of the whole journey. So what a thrill it is to be here with you to read the Word of God. I do have two quick announcements to share with you. Number one is this, that coming up in about a week, starting on December the 14th, so 7 days from now, Marlene is going to return. She's going to read for us the book of 1 John, all 5 chapters, and then she'll be back a couple of days later on the 17th. She's going to read 2 John, 3 John, and the book of Jude. And that means, of course, after that, there's only one book of the New Testament left, the book of Revelation. And that's my second announcement, just to remind you that the last week of December, December 26, day after Christmas, 27, 28, 29, 30, and 31, the last 6 days, we're going to do this live. Now, you know I'm taping this particular video ahead of time, but no, those last 6 days, going to be live, 7 a.m. Central Time. We'll post them so you can, of course, watch them whenever you want. But I'm hoping a great many of you, hundreds, maybe thousands of you, will join us for the reading of the Word of God live. The last 6 days, the book of Revelation. And by the way, I didn't realize this until just the other day, that we're going to finish on December 31st, which is a Sunday. This year happens to end on a Sunday. So we will finish the reading of the Word of God on the Lord's Day. So I can't wait for that. So just remember, Marlene is going to read 1 John and 2 John and 3 John and the book of Jude coming up in a week, starting on December the 14th. And then last 6 days of the month, basically the last week, the book of Revelation live, 7 a.m. Central Time from my office right here in our home in Shawnee, Kansas. Now today, wonderful book of James, letter to the 21st century. And I should just say as a passing side note that during the pandemic, I sat down from this desk and talked through a number of books of the Bible on video. And one of them is the book of James. And you can find that at keepbelieving.com. And I called that series Letter to the 21st Century. Now, we're only going to spend 1 day in the book of James, going to read all 5 chapters today. So got to tell you about it. Number one, I think this is the earliest book of the New Testament written. I would give you a date of about AD 44, meaning that it comes up, it's written about 11 years after the death and resurrection and ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. Meaning, if you want to get back to the beginning, you're only 11 years after the foundation of the Christian church and the beginning of the Christian movement. What's this book about? Well, if you want 5 words that describe the readers of this book, they are Jewish, they are Christian, they are scattered, they are poor, and they are struggling. The Jewish Christians scattered across the Roman Empire, they are poor, they are struggling. The author of the book, of course, James, he is the half-brother. He's called in Galatians chapter 1, the brother of the Lord, meaning he has the same mother, Mary, but not the same father, because after the birth of Jesus and sometime later, Mary and Joseph came together as husband and wife. Jesus had a number of brothers and sisters. We would say technically today, James was the half-brother of the Lord Jesus Christ. They grew up together in the same family in the little village of Nazareth in Galilee. Now, what's this book about? Jewish Christians, that is, early believers who've come out of the synagogue, out of the temple, they have left the Old Testament sacrificial system, they have come to Jesus as their Lord and Savior. They are Jewish Christians scattered in many places, poor and struggling. Therefore, this book is written to help these young Jewish Christian believers know how to grow to maturity through the hard times that are upon them. The only other thing I'd say about this book, This is one that I've taught through many times at Word of Life Bible Institute. My friend, one of my great heroes in the ministry, George Tice, longtime director of Word of Life Ministry worldwide. George Tice loved to teach the book of James. Near the end of his life, when he could no longer teach it, I was asked to take up this book, and George, who was a dear friend of mine, gave me his notes and his encouragement and said, go get them. So for a number of years, I taught this book both in, well, I taught it in Florida, the Bible Institute, a number of times, and then around the world, several different places. This is having taught the book that way. You know what I think about James? I think about, he's like a football coach. He is barking out commands. He is challenging his readers, like just like a good coach challenges his players. Out of 108 verses in the book of James, 54 of those verses contain commands. Wash your hands, you sinners. Come now. Listen. Pay attention. Be careful. And here then, I'm going to give you now the outline of the book, because I think maybe the key passage in the book is James chapter 1, verse 19. Therefore, my beloved brothers, let every person be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Those three commands really are the outline of the book. Swift to hear, chapters 1 and 2. Slow to speak, chapter 3. Slow to anger, chapters 4 and 5. Now, with all of that said, let's begin to read these five chapters. Lord, speak to us by your inspired word. Show us, Lord, here in the 21st century, from the words of James 2,000 years ago, what you want us to know. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. James chapter 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes dispersed abroad, greetings. Consider it a great joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you experience various trials, because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its full effect, so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. Now, if any one of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives to all generously and ungrudgingly, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, without doubting, for the doubter is like the surging sea, driven and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord, being double-minded and unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of humble circumstances boast in his exaltation, but let the rich boast in his humiliation, because he will pass away like a flower of the field, for the sun rises and together with the scorching wind dries up the grass. Its flower falls off and its beautiful appearance perishes. In the same way, the rich person will wither away while pursuing his activities. Blessed is the one who endures trials, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. No one undergoing a trial should say, I am being tempted by God, since God is not tempted by evil, and he himself doesn't tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when he is drawn away and enticed by his own evil desire. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is fully grown, it gives birth to death. Do not be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. But by his own choice, he gave us birth by the word of truth, so that we would be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. My dear brothers and sisters, understand this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For human anger does not accomplish God's righteousness. Therefore, ridding yourselves of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, humbly receive the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Because if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like someone looking at his own face in a mirror. For he looks at himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of person he was. But the one who looks intently into the perfect law of freedom and perseveres in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer who works, this person will be blessed in what he does. If anyone thinks he is religious without controlling his tongue. His religion is useless, and he deceives himself. Pure and undefiled religion before God the Father is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained from the world. Now, James chapter 2. Remember our outline. Swift to hear, chapters 1 and 2. Slow to speak, chapter 3. Slow to anger, chapters 4 and 5. So we're still in the section on being swift to hear what God is saying. And I think he means in the midst of the trials and difficulties of life, listen to what God has to say. James 2, my brothers and sisters, do not show favoritism as you hold on to the faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ. For if someone comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and dressed in fine clothes, and a poor person dressed in filthy clothes also comes in, and if you look with favor on the one wearing the fine clothes and say, sit here in a good place, yet you say to the poor person, stand over there, or sit here on the floor by my footstool, haven't you made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my dear brothers and sisters, didn't God choose the poor in this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom that he has promised to those who love him? Yet you have dishonored the poor. Don't the rich oppress you and drag you into court? Don't they blaspheme the good name that was invoked over you? Indeed, if you fulfill the royal law prescribed in the scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing well. If, however, you show favoritism, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever keeps the entire law and yet stumbles at one point is guilty of breaking it all. For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. So if you do not commit adultery, but you murder, you are a lawbreaker. Speak and act as those who are to be judged by the law of freedom. For judgment is without mercy to the one who has not shown mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but does not have works? Can such faith save him? If a brother or sister is without clothes and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, stay warm, and be well fed, but you don't give them what the body needs, what good is it? In the same way, if it does not have works, faith, if it does not have works, is dead by itself. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without works, and I will show you faith by my works. You believe that God is one. Good. Even the demons believe and they shudder. Senseless person, are you willing to learn that faith without works is useless? Wasn't Abraham our father justified by works in offering Isaac his son on the altar? You see that faith was active together with his works, and by works faith was made complete, and the scripture was fulfilled that says Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. In the same way, wasn't Rahab the prostitute also justified by works in receiving the messengers and sending them out by a different route? For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. James chapter 3, second part of the book. Swift to hear, 1 and 2. Slow to speak, chapter 3. Not many should become teachers, my brothers, because you know that we will receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is mature, able also to control the whole body. Now, if we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we direct their whole bodies. And consider ships, though very large and driven by fierce winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So too, the tongue is a small part of the body. It boasts great things. Consider how a small fire sets ablaze a large forest. And the tongue is a fire. The tongue, a world of unrighteousness, is placed among our members. It stains the whole body, sets the course of life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. Every kind of animal, bird, reptile, and fish is tamed and has been tamed by humankind. But no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue, we bless our Lord and Father. And with it, we curse people who are made in God's image. Blessings and cursing come out of the same mouth. My brothers and sisters, these things should not be this way. Does a spring pour out sweet and bitter water from the same opening? Can a fig tree produce olives, my brothers and sisters, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a saltwater spring yield fresh water. Who among you is wise and understanding? By his good conduct, he should show that his works are done in the gentleness that comes from wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and selfish ambition in your heart, don't boast and deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where there is envy and selfish ambition, there is disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peace-loving, gentle, compliant, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without pretense. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who cultivate peace. James chapter 4. Swift to hear, 1 and 2, slow to speak, we're done. Chapter 3, now the last part of the book, slow to anger, chapters 4 and 5. James 4, what is the source of wars and fights among you? Don't they come from your passions that wage war within you? You desire and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and wage war. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and don't receive because you ask with wrong motives so that you may spend it on your pleasures. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? So whoever wants to be the friend of the world becomes the enemy of God. Or do you think it's without reason that the Scripture says the Spirit he made to dwell in us envies intensely, but he gives greater grace? Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be miserable and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. Don't criticize one another, brothers and sisters. Anyone who defames or judges a fellow believer defames and judges the law. If you judge the law, you are not a doer of the word, but a judge. There is one lawgiver and judge who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor? Come now, you who say today or tomorrow we will travel to such and such a city and spend a year there and do business and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring, what your life will be. For you are like a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you should say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. But as it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So it is sin to know the good and yet not to do it. James 5. Come now, you rich people, weep and wail over the miseries that are coming on you. Your wealth has rotted, and your clothes are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver are corroded, and their corrosion will be a witness against you and will eat your flesh like fire. You have stored up treasure in the last days. Look! The pay that you withheld from the workers who mowed your fields cries out, and the outcry of the harvesters has reached the ears of the Lord of armies. You have lived luxuriously on the earth and have indulged yourselves. You have fattened your hearts in a day of slaughter. You have condemned, you have murdered the righteous who does not resist you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, be patient until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth and is patient with it until it receives the early and the late rains. You also must be patient. Strengthen your hearts because the Lord's coming is near. Brothers and sisters, do not complain about one another so that you will not be judged. Look, the judge stands at the door. Brothers and sisters, take the prophets he spoke in the Lord's name as an example of suffering and patience. See, we count as blessed those who have endured. You've heard of Job's endurance and have seen the outcome that the Lord brought about. The Lord is compassionate and merciful. Above all, my brothers and sisters, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath, but let your yes mean yes and your no mean no, so that you won't fall under judgment. Is anyone among you suffering? He should pray. Is anyone cheerful? He should sing praises. Is anyone among you sick? He should call for the elders of the church, and they are to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick person, and the Lord will raise him up. If he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is very powerful in its effect. Elijah was a human being. He was a man just like us. And he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the land. Then he prayed again, and the sky gave rain, and the land produced its fruit. My brothers and sisters, if any among you strays from the truth, and someone turns him back, let that person know that whoever turns a sinner from the error of his ways will save his soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. Well, how about that? What a way for this book to end. This, I think, the very first book of the New Testament to be written. It's very Jewish, obviously. It's written to the 12 tribes. He means Jewish believers scattered in every place. And obviously, I mean, he's excoriating the rich in chapter 1 and again in chapter 5. And clearly, they were beset by many temptations. And one of his points is don't blame God for your troubles. Don't, you know, that when you give in to temptation, this isn't God's fault. It's because you yourself, it's a fishing term. You threw the line of the water. You caught yourself. Your own evil desires caught you. And that famous passage in chapter 1, that's about as good a place for me to end as any. I want to say something about faith, about works is dead. That's a theological controversy that I don't want to get into. I just want to say, when you read James 2, he's not writing it for theological controversy, because he says, you know, you see your brother or sister and they're naked and they're hungry, and you just kind of pat them on the back and go, hey, it's cold outside. Good luck out there with being naked. And I know you're starving. Good luck. I'm going to pray for you to get some food when you've got clothes you could give him and you've got food you could give him. But you just piously pray. That's what dead faith is. It's faith that sees the needs of others and doesn't care. Count it all joy, James says. Consider it a great joy. My brothers and sisters, whenever you experience various trials, be glad. Be glad in the time of trial, because you know as a Christian, every trial is part of God's plan to make you more like Jesus, because you know that when your faith is tested, testing your faith produces what? Endurance. And when endurance has finished its work in your life, you will be mature and complete, lacking nothing. God is not trying to punish you. He's not trying to break you down. He is actually trying to advance you spiritually. And it's how you respond that matters. And I always take James 1, 2, 3, and 4. I take this passage with Job 23:10, which I talked to you about when we were in the book of Job. He knows the way that I take. When he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. I think that's the Old Testament counterpart to James chapter 1. God wants to produce gold in your life. And as I told you in Job, I tell you again, whenever I see a Christian brother or sister, a righteous brother, a righteous sister, when I see someone who knows and loves the Lord, going through a really hard time, I never think, oh, there must be a lot of sin there. I think to myself, there must be a lot of gold there. So let's go through today. Let's take James' advice to Coach James. Did you get all those commands? His book is just full of, what did I say? 54 commands and 108 verses. Coach James, let's take what he says to heart. Let's make this, okay? With this, I'm done. Let's make this a count it all joy day. This is December the 7th. We're marching toward Christmas. It's just a few weeks away. A lot of things going on, a lot of busyness. Well, whatever else you do today, go out and have a great day and count it all joy. Let's just decide, no matter what happens, we're going to consider it joy and a gift from God. We're going to say, Lord, you are doing something. This thing which normally might break me down, I'm going to trust you. I count it all joy, because at the end of it, I'll be mature and complete, lacking nothing. So, Lord, help us to live that way today. Help us to be count it all joy Christians. Friends, make it a count it all joy day. And if you do that, it will be a great day. Got to come back tomorrow. Guess what? Whole book of Jonah in one day tomorrow. So from James to Jonah, count it all joy, friends. Come back tomorrow. We're going to do this again. God bless.